Bruchim Abayim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos, a very, very interesting Parsha that has to do with the destiny of the Bnei Yisrael. Today's date is Chof Vav Cheshvan, Tav Shin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, November 1st, 2021. I'd like to again dedicate my shir for my father, Oliver Shalom, Natitzvi Ben Tzion Moshe, and my mother, Aleha HaShalom, Shoshana Vita Bas Rav Yisrael Halevi. There should be a schus for my parents, that I'm Mizaka the Rabbin with Divrei Torah.
Amen.
Let's begin with this week's parasha with an interesting pasuk. We say this in Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. The words, Magodlu Ma'asecha Hashem, how great are the deeds of Hashem, Ma'od amku machshavaisecha, how exceedingly you, Hashem, your plans are so deep. Ish ba'al lo yeda, a simple, uneducated, low person who doesn't understand this, uchisil and a fool, lo yavin ezais. They don't realize Hashem's greatness, how deeply it goes into the workings of life and the Jewish people. Bifreach Rishoyim k'may Esav, when you see Rishoyim flourish like grass, or Yitzu kol pa'ali ovem, and the sinners are successful, and they expand. What is this referring to? I'm referring to the story of Yaakov and Esav. How complicated it is, how deep it is, and how it touches upon the destiny of the Bnei Yisrael. We're familiar with the story, and we'll read a few psukim at the beginning of Toldos. We know that Yitzchak and Rivka were childless at the beginning, and as we know, the Torah tells us, "Vayeta Yitzchak Hashem Nolohak Ishto." Yitzchak prayed to Hashem opposite his wife, "Ki Akorehi," because she was barren. "Vayeoso Lo Hashem Vatahar Rivka Ishto," and Hashem had listened to his prayer, to the prayer of Yitzchak, and Rivka became pregnant. And the Torah continues, Vayisraitzatzu ha'bonim v'kirba, and the children were struggling, were fighting in her, in herself. Vatomah, she says, Imkein lama zer anochi, why do I need all this? Vatelech lidrash es Hashem. And she went to go ahead and seek the advice of Hashem. And we know that she went to the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver. They were Nevi'im. And she needed an answer, because Chazal tell us what had happened at the time. The Torah tells us that when she passed by the Beis HaMedrash of Shem and Aver, Yaakov struggled to come out. And when she passed by a church, and Avodah Zarah, then Esau started to kick, and she didn't know that there were two people in her, they were twins. And therefore, she was very, very distraught. How could I have one person to go ahead, bow down to Hashem, and pray and daven to him, and at the same time bow down to idols? So she was very upset, and she went to ask Shem and Eva to explain to her what is happening. And he described, you don't have one child. The Torah says, "Vayoyim Hashem la shnei goyim bevitnech u'shnei l'umim mimayayach yiparedu." You have two nations in your stomach, two kingdoms which they will separate from each other. One will be greater than the other. V'rav yavo tzair. And the older one will serve the younger one, which we know is Esav, will be serving Yaakov. And the Torah tells us, Vayimlu yameh laledes, and her days had arrived, and to give birth, Vehine Simon Bevitna. And behold, there were twins in her stomach. And this is how the Torah begins talking about the history. And as we know, she said, listen, raising children, chinuch habanim, is in the hands of parents. I will do my utmost to see that Esav will conform and he will do the right things. And at the beginning, one could never tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav, but later, as they became a bar mitzvah, the Torah tells us, Vayigdu ha-na'orim, the boys grew up, Vayihi Esav ish yodei atzayid, he became a hunter, a ish sada, a man of the field, Vayakov ish tam yoshev oyholim. Yaakov was a simple person who sat in the tents, and Chazal tells us in the tents of Shem ve'Ever, he was studying the Torah, whatever was revealed then to these Nevi'im, Shem and Ever, and he was occupied in their Beis Medrash. This is basically the beginning of these two children. And Torah tells us a very interesting thing, which is intriguing. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayid befiv, because he would hunt with his mouth. That means to say he would be able to fool his father with his mouth. V'rivka ohevet es Yaakov. And Rivka loved Yaakov. And at that point, the Torah tells us Esav grew up, because Esav was more prone to satisfy his physical hungers, his physical needs, his desires, he looked for other excitements, other things, to the point where he desired that special coat of Nimrod, that Nimrod wore, that was handed down from Adam Arishon, that attracted animals. And since Esav was a hunter, he wanted that coat desperately. And he made up his mind that the only way he's going to get that coat is if he would kill Nimrod. Now, at that time, Avraham Avinu was supposed to live till 180. But Hashem promised Avraham he's going to live a happy and satisfied life. He's going to be content and blessed with teiva, with goodness. And if this was going to happen, that Esav, his grandson, was going to murder Nimrod, then Hashem had decided to take Avram away from this world 5 years earlier. And that's exactly what happened. Avraham passes away the day that Esav killed Nimrod, and at that point, Avraham was no longer here, and Yitzchak became a mourner. And as Yitzchak became a mourner, Yaakov had to prepare mourning food, a pot of lentils. There's a lentil is a roundish kind of food that's supposed to remind a person not to speak against Hashem, and Hashem has plans and has so desired this. And he was prepared to give this to his father Yitzchak when, at that point in time, Esav appears after being finished murdering Nimrod, and he was very agitated and nervous. This is his first murder, and he comes in and demands his pot of beans from Yaakov Avinu. Naturally, we know the story. Yaakov was not going to give it to him just like that. Yaakov says, "You want the beans? Micha chayemis v'choras chali, you shall sell me your birthright to me, and you'll have the pot of beans." And Esav went ahead, and he said, "What do I need this for?" He put the whole bechorah to shame. Being a bechor was a tremendous honor. From him, a bechor would be a kohen. A bechor would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And many great people would come out of him. But he didn't care for that. He went ahead. He says, "What do I need it for? And I'm going to die anyway." Lama zelib bechorah. And therefore, he went ahead and he sold it to Yaakov Avinu. And he swore to him that he is going to give him the birthright, and Yaakov gave him the pot of beans. So this whole story over here is the beginning of the destiny of the Jewish people, where this maps out the difference between the two children. In what way am I mentioning this, the difference? Because it's brought down in the Sefer of Mishnas Reb Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that is the famous Medrash, that on that day that he killed Nimrod, he committed 5 very serious aveiros. On that day, he lived with a Nara Marasa, with an engaged girl. He then not only killed Nimrod, but he also denied the existence of Hashem. That's called Kofa Be'ikr. On that day, he went ahead and he said, "I don't believe in Tchias HaMesim. I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead." On that day, he went ahead and he put the Bechorah to shame. The question right now is why does the Torah dwell only on the Bechorah being put to shame and not on any of the other serious aveiros? It doesn't even mention that he killed. We know that the Medrash explains that that's what had happened. But what happened over here? Why is the stress on the fact, and the Torah says, at the very end, Vayakov Nason the Esav Lechem Unazid Adashim Vayochal Vayesh Vayokum Vayelach Vayivat Esav is a Bechorah. And Yaakov gave to Esav the bread and the pot of beans, and he ate and he drank and he got up and he put the Bechorah to shame. That's the only thing that we can dwell. Is that the worst? Maybe you should have mentioned, the Torah should have mentioned something about killing. About living with a Nara Marasa, with an engaged girl to another man. Torah doesn't mention any of that. That's what Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal asks. And he brings out a very important point over here, which I think has a very basic lesson and an attitude to a Jew serving Hashem. The problem was with Esav was his whole attitude towards ruchnius, towards spirituality. Spirituality was a mockery. To him, spirituality was something to put to shame. He didn't care about it. And since if he didn't care about it, means he didn't care that Hashem is running the world. He didn't care that he's going to be taken to the judgment. He didn't care about Tchias HaMesim. He didn't care about all of that. Why did he not care about all of that? Because ruchnius, spirituality, serving Hashem was not important to him. It to him was a mockery. And the Chofetz Chaim, Alma Torah, explains How could that be? You know, you talk about a person dying. All of a sudden, dying brings a person to a more serious moment in his life. Why did it not bring him to realize that, you know, there comes a day that a person will have to stand before the heavenly tribunal? But this didn't even register in the mind of Esav. Why did this not register in his mind? The reason why it didn't register in his mind, because he lived only for today. He lived with the pleasures of today. He wasn't caring for the future. He didn't care about what will happen in the future. You know, as the famous saying, Goyim say, you know, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. There's no future. They don't believe in Olam Haba. So they don't care about Yom HaMisa because it doesn't register in their mind as anything important. So if Ruchnius, if spirituality is so unimportant, which was reflected in how he put to shame the Bechor, so all the other Averos fall into line. And Aaron Kotler explains, this is the reason why the Torah doesn't dwell on the other Averis. Because the major problem with Esav was his attitude towards Ruchnius, towards Hashem. He lived only in this world, to have pleasures of this world. He didn't care about the world to come because that was unimportant to him. And this is an eye-opener where this has a tremendous effect on many people today, where we are so attracted to physical pleasures and instant gratifications that excite people and want our attention, then it very often blinds us from the reality of Olam Haba, if not paralyzes us. And don't we see this often in our own lives, where we could purchase some drugs in Shoppers Drug Mart, let's say. You're going for a prescription. And to get to a prescription, very often you have to pass by images, magazines, pictures, sometimes posters of improper people, of improper dressed people, where it's immoral, and it excites the person, and it gives the person an instant gratification, and he gets excited, and he gets thrown off. This is the Yetzer Hara. This is how the Yetzer Hara works. Instant gratification. And that's why very often we are tested by where the Yetzer Hara often gets our attention instantly, because instant gratification very often excites the person and makes them forget that there is a world to come, and that we have to be very careful in the things that we see and the things that we do. So in the meantime, we have over here that Yaakov gave him the pot of beans, and he is now the Bechor. Yaakov is the Bechor and not Esav. And since he doesn't care about being a Bechor, he forgets about the birthright being sold. And as a result, 83 years later, the Torah tells us that Yitzchak's eyes become dim. Yitzchak's eyes are not working the way it used to. And the Torah tells us several reasons. Rashi brings down several reasons. The most important of the, there were three reasons. One reason, because Yitzchak's eyes were damaged because of the tears of the Malachim on the Akedah. Another reason is because the smoke of the Avodah Zarah that permeated the house of Yitzchak as Esav's wives brought these incenses and sacrificed to Avodah Zarah, damaged the eyes of Yitzchak. But there's another reason, and a very strange reason, that Hashem made Yitzchak's eyes dim, or nearly blind, so that Yaakov should be able to take the blessings away from Esav. A very interesting, very intriguing kind of scenario over here. And the Torah describes to us that Yitzchak felt that his time was about to come to leave the world because his mother was 127. Here he's 123. And he feels that within 5 years of his mother's passing, he might leave this world. And he felt that was the reason for his eyes dimming. So he quickly called over Esav, who he seemed to love as his bechor, not knowing that Yaakov purchased the birthright from him. And since Esav was the bechor, he wanted to bless Esav, his oldest one, with all his heart. Now, again, it's very interesting, this whole scenario, that Hashem had made Yitzchak's eyes dim and did not say directly, go have that's Rivka, tell Yitzchak to bless Yaakov. Why did it have to go through making Yitzchak's eyes dim? And then through this would be a whole scenario. Of course, the Torah tells us, since he felt he was going to die, he calls over Esav and he says, I feel I'm going to die. I want you to prepare for me a hunting and prepare for me the food the way I like, so I can bless you before I die. So this whole scenario is very intriguing. His eyes had to become dim in order to bless Esav, and he needed a tasty food to bless him. What was this whole idea taking place? And as I started off saying, and this question was actually brought down in my Rebbe Sefer Chidekel, that Hashem should have told Rivka, just tell Yitzchak to bless Yaakov and finish. We know that whatever his wife would tell him, so he would listen. We know Shema Bekola. We know that was a tradition in the house with the wife. We know that happened by Sarah and with the incident with Hagar. And now, if Hashem would have told Rivka to go ahead and tell Yaakov to bless Yaakov, he would have blessed Yaakov too. Why did it have to go with such a hidden, connivory kind of a setting that seemed that it had to be done hiddenly and not direct? This is what my Rebbe brings down the question, and it needs a real understanding. So, as my Rebbe explains over here, and he actually brings down over here in the name of the Ramban, that in order for the brachas to reach its apex level in being transferred, a bracha to Yaakov, it had to go through Yitzchak thinking he was blessing Esav. Yitzchak, in his heart and mind, felt that Esav he was very close to, and he knew that Esav had a mission in this world. His mission was to eventually serve Yaakov. He knew Yaakov was a Talmud Chacham. He knew Yaakov was sitting and learning, and he knew that. But Yaakov needed a physical helper, such as Esav to be able to fulfill his role as an Eved Hashem, and therefore he put a lot of emphasis on Esav. And he told Esav to get him the hunting, and Esav went out anxiously to fulfill his father's request to get the bracha. In the meantime, Rivka overheard the conversation that Yitzchak went ahead and told Esav to go get a hunting because he wanted to bless him. And Rivka did not want that to happen. Rivka, therefore, made Yaakov go ahead and masquerade as Esav and prepared tasty food for Yitzchak. Yitzchak wouldn't at the time realize this would be Yaakov because she masqueraded Yaakov, putting skins on his hands and around his neck. He wore the coat that Esav stole when he was 15 years old many years ago, and he really appeared as Esav. And when Yaakov appeared in front of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak blessed Yaakov thinking this was Esav, he put his whole heart and mind into the bracha. And he gave him the bracha that was he intended to give to Esav, and he gave this to Yaakov. And Yaakov ended up being blessed with the bracha that Esav should have been given. At that point, we know the story is that Esav comes in just as Yaakov leaves, and he is mortified to find out that Yaakov took his blessings. And he is screaming, and how could you do this? How could Yaakov take away his bracha? And in his screaming, Yitzchak had a tremendous pachad, the same a pachad, he is a tremble, the trembling of such a like the trembling like he had when he was on top of the Akedah, because he thought he did a terrible thing. And when he discovered that Esav has actually sold the blessing, sold the Bechor to Yaakov, and therefore he blessed him with his whole heart. He really blessed the older one, the Bechor. Then he said, when he heard that, Gam Baruch Yihyeh. He should also then really be on top of the blessing he gave Yaakov. He also said, Gam Baruch Yihyeh. He should also be blessed. This whole scenario that took place with Yaakov and Esav is a scenario that seems very, very intriguing, that this thing had to take place. And as Esav screamed so a bitter cry, as the Torah tells us, that he found out that he took away his blessings, and he said the following. He said the following, and he said, Yomer Esav el Aviv habracha achas hilecho avi. Don't you have one blessing? Baruchini gamani avi. Please bless me. Please, write Gamani Avi. Vayisa Esav Kolei Vayevk. He raised his voice and he cried. At that time, when Esav found out that he lost the bracha, the Torah says, Vayitzak Tzaka Gedoyla Umara Ad Ma'od. He screamed a terrifying, bitter cry. And he asked his father to give him one bracha. And at first, his father said, I gave everything to your brother. And finally, after he kept on crying, his father said, okay, I will bless you. And what was the blessing? The blessing was that was something hard for us to understand at first, but the blessing is the following. He blessed him with the following. He said that the two of you will never be equal. You will never be as equal as Yaakov, and Yaakov will never be equal to you. That, what does that mean? He says the following. He says, when he blessed him, Vayan Yitzchak Ovid Vayomer Elov, Hine Mishmane Ha'oresiye Moshevecha, the fatness of the land shall be your dwelling, Umitah Shemayim Me'ol, and the dew from heaven above. Valcharvacha Sichye, you will live by your sword, Vesachicha Tavod, and your brother you will serve. Vahayakashir Torid, and when you will be upset that your brother is not serving Hashem, Ufaraktu Ula Me'al Tzavarecha, and you will throw off the yoke from upon your neck. In other words, you'll never be equal with Yaakov. When Yaakov learns Torah, he'll be above you. But if you see Yaakov not learn Torah and not observe Hashem, then you will be able to throw off his yoke from upon you, and you'll be able to control him. And this is actually the root of anti-Semitism. And we see this actually, it seems to us as a curse. It seems, how could this be? How could he tell them that? And as I started the shir, I was explaining this is what it means, that Magodl Ma'asecha Hashem Ma'oid Amku Ma'akshivaisecha, how great are the deeds of Hashem, exceedingly is Hashem your Ma'akshava, deep and so beyond us. Hashem put in the system of Yaakov and Esav. Why did Hashem make Esav get the brachas, Yaakov get the brachas with trickery, and that Esav was then blessed afterwards? It was part of Hashem's master plan. Hashem wanted Yaakov to get the brachas, that he should be able to sit and learn. But he wanted Esav to be his whipping boy, that whenever Yaakov does not serve Hashem and do mitzvahs properly, Esav, his brother, will be there to put him in shape. And this is the destiny of the Jewish people. It has been that throughout history. Whenever Yaakov learns, Yaakov rises to the heavens. Whenever Yaakov slips, they go down to the ground, and then Esav is superior. And we all know from the story of Purim, Zeresh, the wife of Haman, was the one that said this to Haman. When Haman came back humiliated after the whole incident, when Ahasuerus told Haman to go ahead and tell me, what would you advise to honor a person and that the king wishes to honor? And of course, Haman thought about himself, and he gave the king Ahasuerus a whole list. And in the meantime, the whole list was given to Mordechai, and on top of that, Haman was the one that led Mordechai through the streets, and then his own daughter threw foul garbage on his head, and he was humiliated when he came home right before he went to Esther Amalka's second party. And Zeresh said to Haman, you better be careful now. The Jewish people are compared to the stars, and they're compared to the dust. They're compared to the stars when they do mitzvahs and they learn Torah. If they don't obey the Torah, then they are compared to the dust. and that's where we were able to be on top of them. But now they are doing tshuva, and I see that they are rising high, then you better be careful, then you're going to go down to the ground. All this was in the destiny implanted in Yitzchak's bracha to Esav and Yitzchak's bracha to Yaakov. That ultimately speaking, Yaakov was to be blessed with the bracha that Yitzchak intended to give with all his heart to Esav. But Rivka knew that Esav wasn't worthy of such a bracha, and that Esav was not to get such a bracha from Yitzchak. So he had to, Hashem wanted Yitzchak to bless Yaakov with all of his heart, thinking this was Esav. And that's where the Tells of Rav also explains that that was another reason why Yitzchak asked for tasty food. Why did he want to go ahead? Why couldn't he bless Yaakov or Esav without having tasty food? The answer is, he didn't only want to bless him with his spirit. He wanted to use all of his physical power to bless Esav at the time with all his power. And instead, it ended up going to Yaakov. It ended up going to Yaakov. That Yaakov got the blessing from Yitzchak through his spirit and through his physical power, through his physical body. He got it completely. And how Hashem has set it up that Yitzchak should think this was Esav was intended because he wanted Yitzchak to bless him with his entire heart, both spiritually and physically. And the destiny of the Jewish people was exactly what Shem and Eva told Rivka at the very beginning of the parasha. As he said at the very beginning of the parasha, yes, you have two children, not one. You have twins in your stomach. You're going to have one nation will be stronger than the other one, and the older one will serve the younger one. This was all in the destiny, all in the nevuah of Shem and Eva, and this actually happened. But we have to realize, and I wanted to tell you a personal chiddush that we say in Shemona Esrei three times a day, the bracha v'lamal shina maltehi sikva. We pray to Hashem that these informers and these rishayim and all the evil people in the world, that today it's through the media and all of the other sources of Lashon Hara against the Jewish people and Israel, we pray that they should be put down and should be stopped. Why is that so? Why don't we go ahead and pray that they should be demolished, obliterated, and destroyed completely? Why do we say, V'lam al-shinam al-tihi sikfa, that they should have no hope? Why don't we just say that they should be destroyed completely? And the reason is, and it's my personal insight, that we can't say that. Because what we're doing is, we're undoing the bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav, which was really a blessing in disguise for Yaakov. And therefore, unfortunately, we need from time to time reminders that we are an Am Nivcha, we are a special people, we are a chosen people. And therefore, unfortunately, anti-Semitism brings this to our minds, and this reminds us who we really are. We often have to daven for Hatzlacha, we have to daven Hashem to help us from a calamity. But why? It's because sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we forget we're an Am Segula. Sometimes we forget We are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, very often, the bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav needs to be reinstated in order to put us back on track. And therefore, I claim the reason why we say in Shemoneh Esrei, V'lam Arshina Malti Sikva, we say they shouldn't be successful. And we don't say let them be completely destroyed and demolished and disappear and be eliminated, because we'll be undoing the blessing that Yitzchak gave Yitzchak. A Yitzchak gave Esav that was intended for the benefit of Yaakov. So in summary, the story of Yaakov and Esav is the story of the Jewish people's destiny. We are always struggling with our Yetzer Hara, and we are always reminded that if we behave like Yaakov, we'll reach the stars. If Chas V'Shalom we don't, we will be punished, and Esav will remind us who we are. We must always be careful. Always, never to mock holiness, because when we mock holiness, Kedusha, spirituality, it's the key to endless averis that opens up the floodgate of doing many, many averis like Esav done when he was a child of 15. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the strength to serve him with all our heart and all our soul, and to take the message that whenever we do have to pray to Hashem for being hurt or being put down through anti-Semitism, is to remind us that Hashem wants us to get better and to improve our ways and to become the real shining example of an Am Segula, as a holy and special people. Have a wonderful week. Kol Tov.